Hello. Okay. I am so happy to be with you guys. It's a difficult season for our family, extended family. Friday was rough. But I can do that. So Friday was really rough. But in the whole process of everything, I was not there with my brother-in-law, but Trisha's next brother, Justin, called her, and apparently the police came in, and the paramedics came in, and counseling from the police came in, and one of the policemen who is in the counseling grief and everything, he came and talked, put my brother-in-law, Justin, aside. And he said to him, he said, you know what? I've been doing this for 12 years, and I never seen a house when this has happened where there's so much peace and you can feel that there's something different, that there's like a God's presence in this house. And I've been doing this for 12 years. And in the whole thing, and I've been comforted of this, because we grieve not without hope, but know that Christ is with us at all times. And now, if we are thinking about eternity, and we're thinking about how we're going to do eternity, then shouldn't we just put our all to Christ? Shouldn't we just give it all? Because when we die, and I was thinking about that, when we died, we're not going to carry my iPhone, my iWatch, my latest computer, all my collection of all my books that I have. I am not going to take that with me. I'm just going to leave it behind. Probably it's going to go to a landfill or maybe a bookstore, or who knows what's going to happen. But I am not going to take that. So Trisha and I have been for like at least 6 months thinking about eternity. And not in a morbid way, but it's like, how are we going to live today that is going to affect eternity? How are we going to do with our finances so it's going to affect eternity? And I was saying to our youth leaders and our children's department leaders, I said, you know what? We need to be freely open with our money, with our finances, with our resources. Because as we give it to God, guess what? God gives it and supplies everything back to you. As you are hand open with everything, God always supplies everything back to you. And even with our kids, and I was thinking about my two boys, and God has given us two incredible young boys. And for me, I would like to like bubble wrap them and put them to like a little plastic safe and like filter everything that goes in there and like be like who's talking to my child? Like that. But God was really convicting me one day. It's like, okay, Eduardo, those are my children. I'll let you teach them, grow them. I'll let you do that, but they're my children. So give them to me. And as a dad, that was really scary. Because I'm like, I'm kind of like a control freak sometimes. And I'm like, and I said, I remember in my room, and Trisha and I were doing that. I said, God, we give our kids to you. We will teach your ways. We will model to them. We will walk with them. But they are yours. And we trust that. So today, as I call the offering, and this is a little part of my sermon, so you have a little snippet of going to come, I want to have that attitude with finances, okay? So, ushers, if you can be ready. Now, I want you to, that's between you and God. But if you have been afraid about giving offerings, because like, I don't know what's going to happen, or, oh, this is what I left, I want you to trust God, okay? I want you to have faith in him. All of us, we can tell stories about how he supplies. So I can tell you, he will supply your needs. Now, number two, if you have been a faithful tither since the day of Jesus began, okay? But God has kind of like pushing you a little bit. He's like, hey, you could give a little bit more. And you're like, oh, no, but I'm already doing this. You know what? Take that on God and say, you know what? Okay, God, I'm going to give that a little bit more extra. And this is what it is. You'd put the finances, and God can do many things. And God will supply all you need. God supplies needs here and supplies needs as we reach and as we do all the work, as we do everything that it is. Amen? So with confidence in that, let's get ready. Ushers, get ready. Everybody get ready. If you need to go and get your, like, the machine, get ready, because this is going to be good. Amen? This is going to be amazing. Oh, the offering. This is going to be good, because this is when we test God. This is when we can say, okay, God, do something in my life. Amen? Okay, confidence, everybody. Are you ready? Are you ready to give? Amen. So let's gonna pray. God, I pray for every single family in this room, Lord. I pray for every individual in this house. God, I pray that as we put our trust in you, God, that there will be something supernatural, Lord, in our personal lives, Lord. That you will supply all the needs that we need, God. Spiritual needs, healthy needs, financial needs. God, I pray that you will open the gates of heaven, and then they will see miracles happening in our lives, God. And I pray, Lord, that as we trust in you, God, as we let God of our pennies and dimes and nickels and all the things that we need to let go, God, we know that you will supply all our needs, God. God, I pray that as we go in, we have that vision of eternity, Lord. That as we are looking into eternity, we're looking that is for you, God. And God, I pray that you convict us to move the day by day by day by day, Lord, living with that thing in mind, Lord. What is going to happen when we go eternity? How many people are we going to impact? How many people are we going to bless? And I say thank you, God. Thank you for everybody in this house. Amen. Ushers, let's collect the offering. Amen. So as everybody is ready, I can just continue talking to you guys. This is amazing. So I want to tell you a couple of things that has happened a week and a half ago. Pastor Jim asked me and Caitlin, my assistant, he said, like, okay, guys, you guys need to clean the storage room. And I wanted to say, because I am under submission, I submitted to my pastor. So, okay, I'm going to do that. I don't like to do those kind of things, honestly, because, you know, when you have, we all have that room or that drawer. We all that have that one thing in our house that you don't want to open it, because once that you open, you have to deal with it. So you just kind of, like, you kind of open the drawer and kind of, like, grab the things and, like, close it before anything happens. That was the storage for the family ministries and kids and youth. It was a little bit of like that. It's like the, let's see. So on Friday, we were here, and I was here at 11 a.m. We have a couple of our youth helping us. And then we opened the electrical room. We were here from 11 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. And we went through every single thing, and we tossed things, and we put things, and we discovered that we have things that they've been here since 1980. So I'm almost going to sell it on eBay to see how much we get for, like, those, like, those few items. But it's all made me to think about when we are with Christ, when we are committed to him, one of the things that he's asking us always to do is to look inside, to look around us, to look and say, okay, what are you going to deal with this? Are you going to deal with things in your life? When we've been talking about discipleship, when we've been talking about when we enter into a relationship with Christ, sometimes we think about, you know what? I like Christ, and I believe in Jesus. I believe in all the stuff. It's really, really good. I believe in all the stuff. But you know what? Jesus, you stand over here, and I'll be really comfortable over here. I still believe you're good, and I can reach you if I need you, but don't be too close with me. You know, I might take my road. Because the closer that we get to God, the closer that we get to him, we are being revealed, and by his holiness, it's like a mirror that amplifies everything that is in us. And we're like, I don't like that. I don't like to see that. Oh, and then you're like, ugh. Like, sometimes I go into the mirror, it's like, what, another 2 pounds? How did that happen? And I'm like, oh. It's like, you know that I used to tease people, they're like, oh, you're getting old, you have white hairs. And I'm like, I have white hairs, and I have, like, patches of that, my hair is not growing. And I'm like, testosterone, what did you're failing me? It's the things that we don't like, but Jesus comes along. And as he comes along, he said, like, you know what? He doesn't see the bad in you. He sees the awesome things in you. And he says, don't focus on those awful things. Go focus on the good things and let go of everything that's not good. In other words, God is calling you and me to do a spring cleaning in us, in our hearts, daily. Chalk everything that is not good. Don't hold on to the things that you're, oh, you know, but I should just let it go. This year, we've been doing with my wife for like 10 years. We have the one theme for the year or the one topic for the year. And many, many people do that. My aunt, Trisha's aunt, I think she makes a mug and t-shirt and she puts like her word and like. So for us, and I've been thinking this year, is abide in Christ. That's kind of like my focus this year. And all the family ministries, I want to pursue being abide in Christ. John 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Can I hit a nail on that one? It's an amazing promise that God has given to us. He said, if you are closer to me, if you are with me, if you're standing with me, you will have life, you will have all the things, but ask whatever you want and it will be given to you. That's why we have missionaries going and going to the most difficult places and they pray for healing that things happen. And sometimes I thought that, you know what, oh, it just... But you know what? Missionaries go into the corners of the world and they're hidden places and it's awful. Oh, but they need Jesus. We go to church. We have all. Well, Jesus is not that needed here because, you know, we have doctors and we have this. And I'm like, wait a minute. We need Jesus as much as in the farthest corners of the world. We need to be able to come and stand here with God's power, God's strength, and say, like, you know what? God is going to be in this room. We need to be able to go, and as we go to work and as we go to a different places, to be able to pray for people and pray for people and seek for healings. And here's the tough cookie, so the whole thing. We pray for Harbor daily. We pray for little baby. But we also pray, God, let your will be done. And one of the things that I understand that the older that I get is that I am not God. And he has a higher, bigger plan for everything than what I have. So it's in that confidence that we pray. Now, this passage is found in the later part of the book of John. The book of John, I love the imagery that the apostle uses. And in this final ones, John basically consolidates all the speeches and public speeches of Jesus. But especially, he focuses in this part on the speeches that he did privately to the disciples. It was this specific statements that Jesus was given to his people, to his friends, the closest one around him. And it was the most important words, the last words. And you know that the last words are the most important words. Sometimes when people are in deathbed and then they say the last words, those are the words that they carry the most weight. It's like, okay, when I'm gone, I want you to remember this. And this is exactly what Jesus was saying. Those are the last words that he was expressing to his disciples. And it was about the new humanity, not only for them, but for you and me, for generations to come. It was the saying, you know what, there is life beyond this. There is hope beyond this. And one day, yes, I'll be gone, but you will be with me. You will be with me. The Israelites, and if you talk about the vine, that was a symbolism that they completely understood. They understood about what was the vine. When, for them, there's many references in the Old Testament about the vine. And for them, the vine was Israel. Israel, they were them. So you talk about the vine, they knew you were talking about them. The problem is, every time, well, not every time, but most of the time, when the prophets and the writers in the Old Testament wrote about the vine, it was condemning Israel. It was condemning, said, like, hey, you're not doing your job. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. It was in a condemning way. In Psalm 80, for example, he said, you brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove it out of the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. So they understood the vine. God made a covenant with Abraham. God made a covenant with him that he will have many descendants. The many descendants will come to a great nation, and that nation will bring blessings to the whole world. But now I believe that because of the selfishness of Israel, it's like kind of they hoard the whole thing back to them, that God said, okay, now we need to reestablish this whole plan of salvation. We need to reestablish everything. So now Jesus claims, he said, I am the vine. I am the place to have hope. I am the one. Not you. You're no longer. I am. He's putting himself as the fruitful place where everything comes. The symbolism is incredible. Now, Jesus is the channel through whom God's blessings flow. Jesus is the one that becomes, everything comes through him. Now, Jesus becomes the vine, the true way of salvation. He is now the focus of God's focus for salvation. Salvation does not only come, is no more because of your ethnicity. It not becomes from where you were born. It becomes untrusted in Jesus. Now, Israel's, and I believe that they will have to come to terms to salvation, but in God's terms, no longer in theirs. Because we all have to come and approach him in that way. I believe that when Jesus said, I am the vine, he's saying, I am salvation. I am the hope. I am the place that you have peace. I am the source of everything that you need. I am. Jesus becomes a place that we can come and draw everything that we need. Without him, we will perish. Without him, we cannot do anything more. Now, the vine represents a symbolism of intimacy. It's a symbolism of intimacy like nothing else, no one else. It's an intimacy like somebody breathing on your neck, that close. I used to do an example, and I used to do different cultures. Do you know the personal Bible deal? And you have a personal Bible? Colombians, our personal Bible, we almost have no personal Bible, honestly. Ask Pastor Randy. I'm like, yeah, man. But, for example, some other cultures, I'm like, they're a little bit like arm's reach. It's like, if you are closer than this, you're way too close. It's like, and you kind of step a little bit. It's like playing chicken a little bit. And I'm like, well, no, not too close. But sometimes we feel, and I believe that some of us Christians, we put God out of our personal bubble. We still like him. We still believe in him. But you know what, Jesus? Don't get too close. Don't get too close. I believe that some people like the shepherd metaphor of Jesus, like Jesus as the shepherd, because, well, Jesus is leading the way, and you're just one of the sheep. You can be way in the back. You don't have to be close to Jesus because you're like somewhere over there. But yes, still, I'm following Jesus. But the vine is like, it declares intimacy. It declares to let God and be with you, stand with you, arms beside you, hugging you if you want, like very close to you, and say, okay, let's walk daily. And I was challenging the youth more than one time and saying, like, you know what? I'm like, I don't like to set up rules. I honestly don't. But think, Jesus is always watching. He's watching every single step. And a pastor said that to me when I was 20 years old. And I stuck to my, and sometimes I'm like, yeah, I don't think Jesus will be happy if I see me doing this. And it helps you keep in track of what you're doing. San Ignatius, and over centuries, priests and monks and spiritual people, and they want to have this meaningful life where, like, okay, I want to be consecrated to God. There is a, I always forget her name. I want to say she's a missionary in Hong Kong. And Pullinger, thank you. And it says that she was going to Hong Kong and she was going on her daily basis. She said in her testimony that she prayed at all times. She was going on her days, okay, God, what should we do today? And then God said, okay, talk to this person, go to this place, walk around here. And then we'll have, and then she saw many people coming to Christ, many gang members and drug addicts coming to Christ. San Ignatius of Loyola is in the mid-centuries. He was a Spanish priest. And he had that burning desire of like, okay, I want to have communion with God. How do I do it? And he developed this whole system of exercises that even to this day we follow. And he said, you know what? The key thing is to let God into your life. Put the boundary, put the bubble that you have from, just let it down and let God in. He's already close to you, just let him in. And this desire, and there is a contemplation, reflection, repentance for our sins, but it's mostly like, if you have, at the end of your day, you sit down and you turn on Netflix, but instead of Netflix is a DVD of your day, and you let Jesus sit beside you and watch the DVD of your day. And just let him watch the day. And as you go through it, and then you're like, oh, Jesus, I failed here. Oh, Jesus, I could have done better there. Oh, Jesus, I did really good. I did really good over here. But the words of our Master, the words of Jesus, are not of condemnation. Our words, you can do this. There is hope. You don't have to have it all perfect to become a Christian. You just have to surrender and go one step at a time. See, I believe, and just follow with me, it's sometimes a little bit on the way that we act, the way that we behave. I used to be one of the tallest kids in my class, Colombian. For Colombian standards, I'm a giant. Like, all Colombians are like here lower. I have to start talking to all my friends like this. And I'm like, they have to be like, it was just, yeah, growing up. So because of my height, I was shut to the back of the classroom. At the very, very, very back of the classroom. And I discovered that at the very back row of the classroom is where all the people don't pay attention. It's where a different class is happening. It's like there's two classes. One class happens at the front of the class. The another completely different class happens at the back of the class. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I really wanted to learn. I really wanted to do better. So sometimes when we are like Christ, and please follow me with just for a moment. Sometimes we are like that. Sometimes we come to church, and please, it's the attitude of the heart. So if you're sitting where I'm going, please don't be offended, all right? But sometimes we come to church, and we come to church in this way. So we get to church, and we sit all the way to the back. And we sit all the way to the back because we don't want anybody to see us. We don't want to, we just kind of hide in. And so, you know, I just want to check things out. But I just, this is safe. And balcony, you're not out of the hook. That's a different story. You're like, anyways. But the attitude of the heart, sometimes when people come to Christ, is like this, I don't know if I'm ready. But then God does something, and something starts happening. Inside your heart, you're like, oh, God, you fulfill. Oh, God, you do things. Oh, God, you are blessing. Oh, God, you do more. And then suddenly the attitude of your heart changes slower but slower and more until you get closer all the way down to God's presence. And I want to inspire all of you. I want to tell you, you don't have to be in the fringes of your relationship with Christ. You don't have to be sitting all the way in the back. God is waiting for you, but he's not going to come and chase you down, grab you by the shoulder, come here. He's not going to do that. But he's there present, always waiting, always hoping. He wants you to grow in Christ. He wants you to be stronger in him. He wants to use you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be with you. But all that becomes of you. Now, salvation is a gift of grace, all right? One of my youth said, like, oh, we're going to be learning in a couple weeks about sanctification. I have to choose songs, but I have no idea what sanctification means. And I'm like, okay, so let me explain to you. Sanctification is a process where we are getting closer to God, where we let go of all the extra stuff that we don't need, all the ugly things, we just let him go and we follow him. It happens daily. It happens at every moment. It happens as we, and it happens every single day until we die. We're just moving. That's what the Bible says, I believe, that says that we're going from glory to glory. We're going moving forward all the time. It's an active action. Sanctification is an active action. That's why Jesus called himself the vine. He says, I am the salvation. I am your source of hope. When things go sideways, I am there. When you need strength, I am there. But here's the incredible thing, and I want to be clear in this. You don't have to do anything to earn salvation. You don't have to do anything to grow more in Christ. All you have to do is trust in him. He loved you. And as you get closer to him, and as you see all the sinfulness in your heart, you need to see this. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his love for us in that we were still sinners. Christ died for us. I said to you, it's like, okay, you know what? I have nothing today. Liar. Are you going to sing tomorrow? No, I'm not going to sing tomorrow. Liar. Going to church is not like the antidote that you're like, okay, I'm going to church. I'm holy now. It doesn't work like that. I'm a leader. I'm a leader now. I'm a life group leader. I'm a youth leader. You know what? I don't sing anymore. It's just like have the antidote. No. Oh, I'm a pastor. Pastors are really holy. Pastors are amazing. Pastors do not sin. I can tell you stories if you want to hear. And I have to go close the door, go to my knees, say, God, I'm sorry. I blew it one more time. And maybe it's not like big sins, like I don't know. But it's in the attitudes of our heart. Isn't those attitudes keep close account? Now, in this whole thing, God, in the gospel says that we need to believe in him. Here's the Greek word, pisteuo. That means it's a is a transfer of trust and a mutual reception. It means taking our trust of ourselves or someone else and give it to Jesus. Okay? So it is the point that when I trust, I give up, give it to him. You need finances? Take our hope out of your work, out of your savings, out of your RSP. Take up your hope out of that. Okay, God, what are you going to do? Like, whatever it is, it's a transfer, a mutual transfer. And here's the amazing thing. To believe in Christ is to embrace him. To believe in Christ is to be the branch that is attached to the vine, that is plugged to the vine. The branches, I don't know, sometimes I was feeling kind of upset when you said, like, we are the branches. And I'm like, yeah, thanks. I'm the twig. I'm like, just a piece of, I'm like, I prefer to be the vine. Like, the vine is more cooler. And I was talking to my wife and said, you know what? The fruit comes out of the branches. The flowers, everything that we see comes out of the branches. So it's an honor to be called the branch, because by your perception, by your living, by what you are displaying, you are showing Christ. Did you understand that Christian is not the title that you have? Christian is not because you come into a Christian church. Christian is not because you adhere to the precepts of a proper denomination. Christian is because you believe in Christ. Now Christ lives in you. And because he lives in you, now you are showing, displaying Christ to everyone. That's what it becomes to be a Christian. When we become disciples of Christ, we're getting closer into a relationship with Christ. We're bearing more fruit, and then we're showing. And here's the kicker. Here's the amazing kicker. Is when people come and tell you, it's not like, why are you so different? I love that question. That question has been asked to me many times. Why are you, huh? Like, you should, huh? Don't get it. Because of Jesus. I used to, she went to be with the Lord. This old lady used to be in our church when I was an intern. And I was, her husband divorced her and sent her the divorce papers on a Sunday morning. Her kids kind of like rejected her and put into a seniors complex that never visited her. And then she got sick, and I think she had cancer. It was like a tough, and then she lived a tough life. But I remember her every Sunday morning with the biggest smile, the biggest peace. And if you notice, if you see her, you say like, oh, she has everything. And she was, I believe she was suffering every day. And I remember one time I said to her, I said, Diane, how, it's like, well, Christ is in me. Christ is with me. I'm okay. Yes, things happen, but you know what? God has it under control. And one day, oh, hopefully not too soon, I'm going to be with him. And I'm like, you know what? I want to be dad when I'm that age. I want to be dad. Not to say, not an escape is like, oh, please, Jesus, take me out of here now. Come on, look at the teenagers. It's not an escape. It's more like the, okay, God, I don't know how much time do I have on the earth, but I'm going to do my very best. My very, very best. You're with me. I'm with you. Come on, God, we can do something. And you take me whenever you want to take me, but then, which is going to be awesome. And that day, and I'm telling you, when I'm gone, and my wife knows this, I want people to sing In Christ Alone. I think that should be, that is the soundtrack of my life. In Christ alone, the hope is found. Only in him. It's in him, to abide in him. So to be a disciple of Christ, to choose to be with Christ, it actually means to surrender your life. It actually means to surrender all who you are. It's to accept God's presence in you. It's to accept God in you. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. To some people, and I remember telling you all those priests and monks and spiritual people that they're seeking to have this like amazing experience, meaningful life with Christ, and you are like sitting in the pew, and I'm like, whoa, that's them, but that's not me. Watchman Nee, he said, like, you know what? That is the normal Christian life. That should be everybody's Christian life. That should be everybody's stand to be with him. That should be what it is. Watchman Nee said, he's like, you know what? Jesus is the answer for everything. You need salvation? Get Jesus. You need forgiveness? Get Jesus. You need to find a meaningful life and more deeper, like meaning to what the life that you live in? Get Jesus. That's what it is. The branch is attached to the vine. Therefore, it draws all the energy, all the nutrients, all the things that is needed for it to live out of the vine. It is like an electric plug, and that you plug it in. You have your hair dryers, or you need to charge your phone. You need to charge it in order for the electricity to flow and charge your mobile device or for that equipment that you're using to be able to function. If you don't plug it in, ain't gonna work. And if you have a phone with a battery, yeah, the battery will last you maybe 6 hours, 8 hours if you're lucky, if you don't talk, text, or do anything with it. But you see, come to a Fridays and you have all the youth, it's like, oh, my phone is dying. And it's like, oh my goodness, somebody give a plug into this kid. But it's like that's what is divine. Divine, we need to be plugged in with Jesus daily. Not once in a while, not once every Friday, not once every Sunday. Every single day we need to be connected with him, because when the branch no longer is attached to the vine, it uses all the nutrients that are already there. It uses all the energy, but it withers, it dries up, and it dies. And that's what happens with so many Christians, that I'm like, oh, wow, how come this so-and-so used to come to church that they don't come anymore? They're no longer attached to the vine. They're no longer closer to it. That's what we need. That's what we need to be. We need to be all the time with him. So I want to end this afternoon, morning. Closer to afternoon in 10 minutes. With this little one, okay? Number one, I don't know. God knows. You know. I don't know. Sorry, I don't know. But God knows there are some people in this place that you have maybe have come to church, but you have never made a commitment to be with Christ. And you maybe are on the younger side. You said, oh, you know what? My parents come to church, so I'm a Christian, so I come to church. Or you're attached to, by default, that's like you're dragged into the church, so therefore I'm a Christian. But you have not made that commitment. I believe, and a professor of mine used to say, it's like God does not have grandchildren. He only has children. Every generation has to make their own stand before God. All right? So today I want to give you, that's number one, I want to give you an opportunity, if that's you, to commit to Christ, to say, okay, God, I'm going to be plugged in to the vine. Second thing that we're going to pray today, is that maybe you love Christ, you love everything, but you have kept God out of your bubble. You have put him out of reach end. And maybe you think that you are like the smartphone, that you have like this like amazing battery, and then you're like, you know what, I can last longer with this, I only need to plug it once a week. And like, no, you need to plug it daily. So I want to give you an opportunity to come to Christ. Say, you know what, God? I want to make a commitment to be coming to you daily, to let you in my Bible, to be able to come with you. And lastly, I want to have our prayer team, because sometimes we just need somebody to pray with us. That's why he said that we are brothers and sisters, that we are to support each other, to love each other, to pray for each other. And sometimes we need somebody to stand by us in order to move along. So, and the third one, as the prayer team is ready at that point, I want you to come here. And if you have a need, if you have something, please come and talk to one of our prayer team. If you have made a commitment to be with Christ, come and talk to one of our prayer team members. If you want to make one of those commitments, let somebody know, all right? Okay. So let me pray for you guys. Dimitri, are you around? I know my wife is here. Oh, there. So God, I pray, Lord, for every single person in this room, Lord. I pray for every individual, every family, Lord. God, I'm so thankful that it's not because of what we can do or what we are able to do, but it's because of you, God. It's because you love us first. It's because you love us first, even when we were still sinners. You pour your love on us, God. So first, God, I want to invite anybody in this room who wants to make a first commitment to be with Christ, to have this personal relationship with him. Maybe you have heard me talk about this and say, like, yeah, that's something that I need. You know what? I'm going through so many awful things in my life. I need Jesus. So if that's you, I want you to, it's a simple prayer. You can pray by yourself. It's not a specific pattern, but it's just a surrender of your heart to him and acknowledging of your sinfulness and acknowledging of that, and then to be able to welcome him into your life. And you can say in your own words, but it's something like, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me in my sin. God, thank you that you love me. And God, I pray that I want to be in relationship with you. You are my Lord and Savior. You are the one who brings salvation, and I want to have a relationship with you. Please forgive me of all my sins, of all my wickedness, of all the bad things that I've done. And from now on, let my name be written in your book. Let it be written in your book. Let me be accounted for eternity, God.